This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
This is a Roundtable Rewind with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.
Rockstar and Dunaway out today. Not together, there's doubt. Damian Mitchell, John Lunsford producing the fine program here. And we'll talk to you, 834-9450, 800-239-9569. LT, what's up, man?
Not much, man. Quick week.
Yeah.
Excited about championship week. The only unfortunate thing is it is like the official close of college football.
Very sad. I mean, it's not going to feel like a regular season Saturday, but you've at least got multiple games in every window there, right?
Well, so, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And, yeah. And, you know, moving forward, we've obviously got big games, and you've got the college football playoff, and you've got some marquee bowls and things of that nature. But as far as a sit on the couch watching every single session Saturday, we don't get another one of those.
We do not, and that is very, very sad. It's always sad when we get to this point, but, you know, you always know what's coming. It just seems like it goes so fast, man. I mean, we get on Dunaway for telling us when we're a third of the way through the season and a quarter way through the season. This one felt like it went faster than any season I've ever experienced.
Well, unfortunately, the older you get.
Right. Time flies.
Yeah.
Time goes by the older I get quicker.
Well, you have more of an acknowledgement of time. I think I told you this. It's not even a theory. It's just fact.
This has been proven?
Yeah, it's proven. You know, when you're 8 or 9, a summer seems like 10 years. But the older you get, you have a better gauge of time. Because you've been on the planet longer.
So that's interesting. It's very deep.
It's very deep. It's very sad, too, because, you know, from the difference of being 20 to 50, it's, you know, it's going to more than double.
Yeah, it is weird. Like I see it in my teenager. I don't know about yours. I've got a 15-year-old daughter. Yours is 16. My 15-year-old has zero concept of time. Like a minute could be an hour could be a day. My 5-year-old.
It has no concept of my time either.
Well, that's kind of my point. Yeah. I mean, you could be in a hurry. The 15-year-old's rarely in a hurry. Sometimes you got to be somewhere at 6:30. She's ready at 5:30. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know what happens there. And my 5-year-old, you know, she's just now realizing the difference in a day, an hour, a year, you know, but boy, at our age, you figure it out, right?
You do.
You've seen enough of it.
But I'll tell you, if you want 3 or 4 months to go quickly, I guess 4 months, you just you put in the football season.
Well, this will be the last Saturday. Sad way to start the show. We got Army Navy next Saturday, and Lunsford and Laurel getting married. So that's an active day for the show. And then the bowl season starts on the 20th. I'd settle down, Lance, but it's going to be the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl between Buffalo and Charlotte. Charlotte's actually a pretty good story, though. That's their first winning season ever.
Yeah, I'm really surprised where this Charlotte team, what they just came to the FBS 3 years ago.
Right.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And to where they are right now. And, again, this CUSA is a better conference than – would you say this is the best year we've seen in conference?
In CUSA history?
Yeah.
Probably so. FAU's a really good team. UAB's a really good team. They'll play for the championship tomorrow. We'll talk some more about that later. I think Charlotte's a pretty good team. I mean, it's 7-5.
I mean, you've got 8 bowl eligible teams.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're probably right. This is the best, you know, and then FIU beat Miami.
You've got the best 3-win team in college football on Rice.
Yeah.
Continue to say that.
Yeah. When you consider they were 0-6 at one point, right? Getting to 3 wins isn't bad.
I'm telling you, one of the biggest surprises this year, probably not in college football, but in Group 5 action was North Texas. Going to a
bad surprise.
Yeah, actually. Because bigger disappointment. I mean, I just thought Mason Fine coming back for that senior year. You know, Seth Litteral was a coach that people were talking about was going to get that next big job, and how they won 4 games is just amazing.
Louisiana Tech's a pretty good team at 9-3.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a pretty good team in that conference. It's probably the best conference USA has been. So I guess that makes what UAB has done all the more impressive, right?
I mean, to be in back-to-back CUSA championship games and to have the attrition the Blazers had last year, this shows you what a great coach Bill Clark is, and you wonder if he's ever going to get his due. You mentioned the fact earlier this week that Las Vegas had him as one of the favorites to maybe get the Arkansas job, but I don't know if the guy's ever been, like, have his representatives actually been talked to by a school?
I can answer that question, believe it or not. From a really good source within UAB, I'm told they have not been contacted, which is a little surprising to me.
Blows me away.
Now, that doesn't mean, Lance, that some agents aren't talking behind the scenes, but.
Well, if I'm an athletic director or if I'm one of these, you know, these search committees, I look at UAB, and if you know college football, it's one of the greatest stories, one of the greatest rebuilds, if not the greatest rebuild. I mean, Kansas State would be in the conversation, but I would want to look at this. I would want to sit down with the guy that actually did it and just talk to him and find out a little bit about him. It doesn't seem like Bill Clark's the most charismatic guy, but there's got to be a method to what he's doing.
Obviously a really good football coach, right? And he's navigated waters nobody's really other than SMU had to navigate, right?
I would ask you this. Where would Bill Clark be if UAB football never was brought back?
I think he would probably be – he'd be a coordinator somewhere. Maybe he would have been a head coach by now. I think
– but he might be buried somewhere. You just never know.
You don't mean like literally buried dead.
No, you know
what I'm
saying.
Just like somewhere on somebody's staff as a defensive line coach?
Yeah, I mean, this sounds weird, but somebody like – and this is a bad analogy. Carrie Underwood. If you never have American Idol – Carrie Underwood might still be in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Waiting tables. Who knows?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Yeah. Because you wonder, I mean, you wonder that about a lot of people, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many talented people that never get their break.
And when you hear is like sometimes the stories on how guys get discovered or girls get discovered.
I mean, Bill Clark was never going to get an opportunity as a head coach anywhere but UAB. At least to start. Yeah,
I don't know. He was very successful early at Jacksonville State. I don't know what that would have led to had he kept that success going.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the FBS level.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, 3 more years of that type of success at Jacksonville State. And don't forget, they went to the national championship game after he left. He certainly could have done that himself, what John Gross did there. So if he continued that at Jacksonville State, he probably cashes in on another job. But you're right. I mean, like if he had no hope that UAB football was coming back and he just said, all right, I'm out, man. I've done all I can. I'm out. I think he's probably a coordinator somewhere.
Well, you know, maybe
even on the SEC level. I think he was that well-respected.
Well, he was up for National Coach of the Year last year. But, again, I think we agree that he's done a better job this year. You know, if they win conference championship tomorrow and then win a bowl game, they're 11-3.
That's incredible. At UAB to get 11 wins?
And I'm just going to go out there and guess there'll be 6 or 7 FBS teams that maybe have 11 wins this year.
Maybe not even one in this state. They may be the only one in this state, right?
I mean, if you look at it right now, in college football, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams with 11 or more wins.
I mean, Auburn.
10 teams.
Auburn cannot get to 11. They can only get to 10. Alabama has to win their bowl to get to 11.
Yeah, and they max out at 11.
Yeah, so they may be the only team in this state to get 11 wins if they can pull that off. Little car before the horse there because they got to play FAU, who's a really, really good
football
player.
What odds could you have gotten going into the college football playoff that Auburn would be ranked higher than Alabama?
Right.
And that UAB could lead the state in wins.
Yeah, we would. That's one of those that Dunaway hates. Where
I would have said $5 to an axe to the hand.
Yeah, that's one of those Dunaway hates where you and I would have been so.
Absolutely.
Like, Dunaway, it's not going to happen. Yeah.
Oh, you never know.
Yeah, you know, and you know what? He'd have been right. Yeah. You never know.
I guess this is why you don't speak in absolutes.
Yeah, I guess not. So I don't know what will happen with Bill Clark. I really did, though, Lance, think that this would be the cycle with all these SEC jobs west of Alabama, even though Missouri's in the east, west of Alabama that aren't your high-level SEC jobs. With all those open, this is the time I thought you'd see his name circulate more.
Yeah, look, it's great for our community that he's going nowhere, that he's going to be back at UAB.
If that indeed happens,
You know, but at the same time, you know, there is, you know, a part of you, probably not if you're a UAB fan, but you want to see what Bill Clark would be able to do with one of these other jobs.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Yeah. I would. I mean, I'd love to for him to stay at UAB and continue clicking there, but I would like to see if he were a head coach on an SEC level.
Okay, where UAB was 5 years ago, where Arkansas is now, what would be more realistic? UAB winning or going to back-to-back championship games and winning 11 games, or Arkansas getting back to an SEC championship?
Which one's harder?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, both those seem impossible right
now.
That's
what I'm saying, going back 5 years ago.
And UAB could do it. They seem impossible right now.
Seems more improbable.
Yeah,
I guess so. That's what I'm saying. So
going back 5 years,
if Bill Clark was to get a job like Arkansas, you know, right now you would say there is no chance a team that hasn't won a game in conference since 2017 that this team could possibly navigate its way through the West and get back to Atlanta. But, I mean, from what Bill Clark's done, I mean, it wouldn't blow you away.
No. I mean, I would have faith in him. I mean, look, if you take the Ole Miss or Arkansas jobs, those are really, really difficult because you're in the West with Alabama, who's consistently in the playoff discussion. Now LSU, who has put themselves in the playoff discussion. Auburn, who is always that team that is just close enough to be talked about in the playoff discussion, but they, you know, they haven't been in it yet. So, I mean, that's three right there you got to overcome if you're at Arkansas or Ole Miss. And, I mean, that's who else? I guess if you're a coach in the Big Ten West, you got, or the East, excuse me, you got to overcome that with Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. But that's really the only other division where that's even, or conference where that's even an issue.
Yeah, I mean, it would be Tom Allen at Indiana winning the Big Ten East.
Yeah. And I don't think, I mean, look, if Bill Clark took the Ole Miss or Arkansas job, nobody would expect him to win the West there.
Yeah, I mean, 7 or 8 wins is all you want.
If you took him to a bowl game within the next 2 years, you'd be a hero. Paul says, time goes by faster the older you get, except at work, where 1 hour seems like 10 days.
Well, it depends on how bad you hate your job.
Depends on the job.
Yeah, I mean, we have a very unique job where it often flies by. There are days, though, where it often flies by. I was thinking, oh, I shouldn't say this out loud. If you believe in jinxes, which I don't, you know I don't believe in jinxes.
But I do.
I was thinking about this the other day. I'm 43, right? And I've never had a 9-to-5 job, ever. Like, I've never had a job where you go clock in at 9 o'clock and clock out at 5 o'clock. Ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, I don't think I have. I guess technically when I started up here, it was just on the sales side.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to be here at 8:30 and you were supposed to work till 5:30.
You cannot see Lance give the air quotes around the word supposed to be.
Yeah, but as far as clocking in 9 to 5, I agree with you. I did have jobs where I had to actually clock in, though.
Yeah, I guess I kind of did. Like when I was in school, we lived on a golf course and I worked at that golf course.
Yeah, I worked at the car wash. We had we had to punch the time.
Yeah. We didn't have like a figurative time clock, but I did have to keep up my hours and turn them in.
No, we did. We actually, I mean, that's old school right there.
Yeah, you had like the little card you'd put in the clock and it'd stamp it or whatever.
Yeah, it would stamp it. It would have the time on there. And then at the end of the week, it would have actually how many hours you actually had on there.
So, Lance, I know you very well. Tell me how you guys scammed that system.
Well, okay, at the car wash,
we
scam it, but I did work in produce at a grocery store, and there was two of us that worked in produce, and, I mean, that was a little overkill on a Friday or Saturday, so sometimes one of us would get out early and clock the other one out.
Okay. Yeah. I think that happens a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it did back in the day.
Yes.
Hey, the strawberries got cut.
Yeah, I mean, all the
greenery, it got hosed down.
All the work got done. To close out our conversation for the moment about the Cowboys. Jane Slater, are you aware of her? Covers it's NFL Network, Jane Slater?
No.
Jane Slater, NFL Network. And I think she's based out of Dallas, so she kind of covers the Cowboys for them. Says this in a tweet last night, or early this morning, actually, after the game. Jerry Jones says Jason Garrett will remain the coach, but I can confirm a very real interest in fill in the blank, Lance. She says a very real interest from Jason Garrett. This is not an under-the-radar name. This is a very prominent name that you would know.
I have no idea.
She goes on to say, not only is there a very real interest in this coach, she goes on to say Stephen Jones, Jerry's son, who's kind of the heir apparent to lead that team. He's always sitting next to him and all that.
Is it going to be like outlandish?
No. No, I don't think it'd be outlandish. I think it's a little surprise of this guy on a professional level because you only hear him connected to college jobs.
Dabo Swinney.
No, she says, in fact, she's told Stephen Jones has spoken with Urban Meyer about being the next Dallas coach.
Okay, so I would ask you this because I do believe behind the scenes the power brokers at USC reached out. I think they gauged the interest of Urban Meyer, and he told them no. And we got almost that much from Brock Huard yesterday.
Right.
If you're Urban Meyer and you have an opportunity to take over this USC team or take over the Dallas Cowboys.
That is a really good poll question. We'll do a Cowan Equipment poll question.
Yeah, because, we can do that.
Because Jane Slater, I mean, she reports that Urban Meyer there's a very real interest for Dallas and that Stephen Jones has talked to him. And you got to assume USC did as well.
You know, I guess the one thing you would look at, if you're Urban Meyer, you've already accomplished national championships in two different conferences. How cool would it be, though, to win a national championship at Florida in the SEC, to win one at Ohio State in the Big Ten, and then go out west and win one in the Pac-12 championship? That's something you'll never see again. There's no way a coach will win three national championships at three different conferences.
No, you're right, but which one as a coach now, which one do you think would get him more – respect doing it at three different colleges or doing it at Ohio State, Florida, and winning a Super Bowl with the Cowboys.
Well, yeah, I mean, then you could start to put him in a category as, you know, the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah.
Because Pete Carroll's got to be in that category. Jimmy Johnson's got to be in that category.
Yeah. I mean, Barry Switzer won it at both levels. He doesn't get near the respect, but if you wanted Ohio State, Florida, and then and won a Super Bowl at Dallas, I think you'd get more respect maybe even for that. So we'll throw that question out there.
Roundtable poll question always brought to you by our friends at Cowan Equipment Company, your authorized Takauchi compact equipment dealer. Cowan has the largest, most diverse rental fleet in the Southeast. With winter here, give your equipment the attention it's been needing with a scheduled maintenance from their service team at any of their 8 branches. Just mention the Jocks discount. They will take care of you. For more information, Cowan.com.
All right, so which one would you pick?
Well,
you're a USC fan. I try to put that aside.
I think he should take the USC job.
Well, I know you think
that. No, I really believe if you want stability, and with his pedigree, there's no way he ever wins less than 10 games. He's always in the mix to win conference championships, which ultimately with that USC brand puts him in the mix to go to 14 playoffs. With the Dallas Cowboys, even this roster, you're not guaranteed anything in the NFL.
It's so much easier to control your roster in college.
Right. So to me, you know, these guys that want this total control, you really can't have it in the NFL.
Right.
So, yeah, I would take the USC job. And do you really want to deal with Jerry Jones?
That's the difficult part. But, you know, I hate to be morbid about this, but how much longer do you have to deal with Jerry? Now, Steven could be worse. I don't know.
I mean, Jerry could still, you know, have a good operating 7-8 years. And, I mean, what is the lifespan in NFL coaching for a guy like Urban Meyer?
Lincoln Riley remains a strong candidate. Jane Slater says.
I don't believe it.
And she says, file this name as a possibility. Clemson offensive coordinator Tony Elliott, per sources. So those are, it's all college names. She's covering the Dallas Cowboys for the NFL Network. She throws out Urban Meyer, Lincoln Riley, and Tony Elliott.
Okay, remind me again the last time a college coach went from the college ranks to the NFL and had a ton of success.
Oh, I'm always against it.
Yeah.
Always.
I mean, we've seen some of the greatest coaches over the last 25 years, including Steve Spurrier, Nick Saban, Chip Kelly. None of these guys really had success.
I mean, Pete Carroll's the most recent one,
right? Pete Carroll really is the only one that, I mean, Jimmy Johnson, obviously, if you go way back.
Yeah, but you got to go back before Carroll. I'm saying Carroll's the most recent one. Bama Sly Guy says, guys, there's no way Urban Meyer could function working under Jerry Jones.
I think it would be really difficult.
A lot of ego in there.
I mean, from what we heard yesterday, Urban Meyer didn't take this USC job because more than likely he didn't have all of the power that he wanted.
Right.
If you're not
Jerry, you got none with Jerry.
There's just no way.
You got zero power with him. All right, so Tua Tagovailoa talked with the media yesterday over in Tuscaloosa. He had done an interview with TideSports.com, Cecil Hurt, Tuscaloosa News, and he had done an interview with Kirk Herbstreit. But other than that, you know, the guys that cover him on a day-to-day basis had not really had a chance to talk to him since his injury. So this was what that was yesterday. Of course, as we told you on the show, this was never designed as him announcing that he's going to the NFL, but you know it's going to be talked about. He knew it'd be talked about. And that's primarily what was talked about there, though some of his injury was discussed, and we'll get to that. So we'll just do a couple sound bites from Tua Tagovailoa. First of all, the very first question is about his future in Tuscaloosa, the NFL. What's he thinking, and here's how he answered that.
I've had conversations with Coach Saban, and you know, kind of what I said the last time, you know, on TV with Kirk Herbstreit, is pretty much the same thing Coach Saban told me. And, you know, those are the two things that, you know, I felt I needed to take into consideration. You know, and it's something I still need to sit down and talk to about with my family. Haven't really had that opportunity because of the rehab that I need to go through, and then I'm still trying to finish up my school here.
So obviously he's got to finish rehab in school.
Better man than me. Would you be finishing up your school?
Yeah, man, like Cardale Jones said, I ain't come here to play school.
Yeah.
I ain't come here to play school.
I mean, really? I mean, good for Tua though.
I don't even know what he's majoring.
Very responsible.
Maybe
he
enjoys
his
major.
Man.
You know, for him to come out though and say it's going to be really tough to pass on the draft if he's a top 10 to 15 pick, I don't know how he falls outside of the top 15 if he's not medically clear.
And this is what he said right here. Here's the question and Tua's answer to what Lance is talking about yesterday in Tuscaloosa.
Let's say once you get your feedback, that the feedback's that it looks like you're still a top 10, top 15 draft pick. If that's the case, like top 10, top 15, worst case scenario, would it be tough to pass that up?
Yeah, I think that'd be tough to pass up, but I think there's a lot more to it than that in some aspects. You know, I don't want to say too much. I guess, you know, what me and my family talk about, they kind of want it to be just with me and my family. So That's all I can say about that.
Can I make a point real quick on that? I'm going to see if I can find the current draft order. I may not be able to pull
You're
that up that
be
quick.
Able to find that.
How many of those top 15 teams, because if you were guaranteed that, sure, you'd go. But I'm just going to try to do this on the fly. Cincinnati's obviously going to take quarterback, right?
Cincinnati will take quarterback.
Okay, they're going to, they're right now, they
have
the first
pick. I think they will
be
number one, yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll end up number one. Joe Burrow is from Cincinnati. A lot of people think that
they'll take Burrow.
Yeah, I think they will take Burrow. The Giants are going to pick number two. They're not going to take quarterback.
They're taking Chase Young.
They're going to take Chase Young. Right now, the Cardinals, Dolphins, Falcons, Lions are all in the run for the next pick. So that gets you to pick number six.
Okay,
pick
all six. Outside of Arizona. Arizona very comfortable with Kyler Murray.
Right, they're not going to take quarterback.
But everybody else is on the table to take a quarterback.
Yeah, there's no doubt the Dolphins want to. I mean, it's been their whole plan.
Even Detroit with Matt Stafford, who was not healthy for the first time in his career.
Playing with a broken back right now. I mean, what's going to happen to him? Then once you get past the 3-win teams, let's get to the 4-win teams here.
This is where it kind of gets interesting as far as, you know, teams that would have a fighting shot moving forward next year in good organization.
Right. So we're up to six teams. So the Jets, let's just start.
Sam Darnold's their guy.
Sam Darnold, they're not going to take quarterback. Another 4-win team, the Jags.
Well, the Jags put some money into Nick Foles, but I still believe that, yes, they would take quarterback.
All right, so we're up to eight. Denver.
Denver would take quarterback, although Drew Lock didn't look bad last week. I still don't think John Elway's got his quarterback of the future.
So that's nine. The Chargers?
1,000%.
Yeah, they got to have something to replace Phillip Rivers.
That's where you want to go. If Tua was to walk into this Chargers roster right now, watch out.
So we're up to 10. We're not even to pick 15 yet. And listen to how many teams are going to maybe take quarterback. I mean, think about that now, okay? Cleveland's at 5 wins. They're not going to do it. They've got their quarterback of the future going forward, as much as you like him or hate him. I missed the Redskins with 3-win teams, but they're not going to take it.
So. I mean, they're at least going to give Haskins another year.
So what are we up to, like 12 or 13? The Eagles, they're not going to do it at 5 wins. The Panthers, they'll probably take quarterback,
There's a good chance. Kyle Allen's not going to be the answer. I think it would be fascinating if Greg Roman takes that job. The work he's done in the past with Colin Kaepernick, what he's doing with Lamar Jackson. If you had a healthy Cam Newton, that would be an interesting mix. I just don't know if we're ever going to see Cam healthy again.
I didn't keep count there, but I think we just did 15 teams right there, and probably 10 of them could legitimately take quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, if you're anywhere close.
He's not going to fall out of the top 15.
You wouldn't think.
Unless somebody medically is on record saying, I don't think Tua's ever going to be healthy.
So let's talk about his health right here. Here's Tua Tagovailoa said about what the doctors have told him about his recovery and his ability to play at 100%.
You know, I don't think I'd say I'd be the same again because there's like, you know, meadow in here now. And I mean, I lose some, I guess, rotation inward, you know, and so I won't be able to kind of twist it as much inward and whatnot. But you know, I wouldn't need that as much. You know, when you're running, you're usually always opening up your hip. With what the doctors have said, they said, you know, they expect a full recovery. You know, I'd be able to go out there and play football again at 100%. It's just won't be able to rotate it internally the same way.
Yeah, so kind of an interesting answer because he did talk about some of his limitations, but did say he would be able to play at 100%. So, I mean, if that's what the doctors
are
in fact telling
himself. How are you 100% if you have limitations?
I guess the limitations don't affect anything you would do in the natural course of playing football, is what he's saying. So I could play it at 100%. There are limitations on my body, but it's not really going to affect how I play football, right?
Okay, but I would ask, are you limited now because something that happened on the football field? You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah,
he's got limitations because of that injury.
Yeah, but if the limitations don't affect the way I play football, I mean, I'm trying to think of a good example of that, right? You know, I guess I think
for change of direction. I mean, obviously, if he's a defensive back and you've got a hip situation.
Right. Well, yeah, maybe so.
But I'm just, even, you know, with his pocket presence and, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, we talk about his accuracy. That's number one for Tua, but also his uncanny ability to move the feet in the pocket and to extend plays. I mean, he's better than advertised on that.
Yeah. So, but he says it will not affect his running because you open your hip when you run. He does say he's limited, but the doctor says he's going to be 100%. And
well, again, if they clear him 100%, there's no way he falls out of the top
15. I think we just did that exercise, and you see if NFL teams believe he's 100%, he's a top 15 pick if he decides to come out. But even there in that soundbite, he said the previous one we played, you know, that'd be hard to pass up, but it's not a given right now. But it'd be hard for anybody to pass that up. Well, you tell anybody they're going to be a top.
My follow-up would be, what would be the reasons to come back? Yeah. I guess he would say it would be internally with me and my family. But, right. I mean, the obvious would be to win a national championship.
Win a national championship, selfishly, and I don't mean that negatively, to win a Heisman. But he's probably not going to say that. You know, I want to come back and win the Heisman Trophy. Sounds really, really selfish, right?
Much better chance of winning a national championship than a Heisman Trophy.
Well, probably
you
so.
Agree with that?
Well, yeah, because 22 guys control you winning the national championship. You kind of control you winning the Heisman.
Yeah, right? And with Tua coming back, I mean, Alabama would be ranked, what, number two, three?
Probably so, right in the mix going into it.
It's the Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown on Jocks 94.5.
We're behind. They're all fired up. We got class. We're going to find it out. We got class, and I know we got it.
Intercept the team. Intercept the team. To the 10, to the 5. He cuts off.
That's what our program's all about. I want you to think about it and let it sink in deep. This is the reason we work you in the summertime in January and February and the spring. This is the reason we push you beyond what you think you can do to experience moments like this.
Dix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it at the two, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
First place, our defense has got to go out there and take the ball. Our defense hasn't been taking the ball. Then when we get the ball, we got to have 11 people is just going to do their job, whatever it is. It's going to do their job and try to score every time you get the football.
There is the foul, the kick. It is in the air. It has missed it. It's good! It's good! It's good! It's good! It's good! It's good!
Sure, I'd like to be 11-0, but I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't swap this year for any year that I've been at Auburn. I wouldn't swap it, man, because I've watched you struggle, and I watched you wrestle with them angels, but I watched you grow up and become me.
45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
You know, you don't talk about winning championships. You go do what you got to do it. Let's quit talking about it, and let's go do what we got to do it.
2009.
Intercepted by Alabama. Marcel Darius has it to the 50, to the 5. Touchdown.
My goal is to get this thing turned around to play championship football like Auburn expects.
2010.
The kick is good. Auburn wins. 22-19.
The Tigers are BCS national champions.
I honor to present the coach's trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
2011.
Bounces to the outside of the 30. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. He's in the end zone. Touchdown, Alabama.
2012.
Breaking free. It's Amari Cooper, the 10. Inside the 5. Into the end zone. Bring up another one.
2015.
Creek past the kicker, the 50. Down the sideline, 40. At the 30. To the 20. To the 10. At the 5. Dives the pylon. He is in for the touchdown.
2017.
And it is caught for a touchdown. Devontae Smith wins the national championship.
We go to the 8 o'clock hour. It is Championship Saturday. Unfortunately, it does not involve Alabama or Auburn in the SEC Championship game. It does, though, involve the UAB Blazers in the CUSA Championship down in Boca, 12:30 tomorrow. CBS Sports Network is where you can watch UAB Florida Atlantic. You can hear it on our sister station, Jocks 2, 100.5. You know, look, Lance, there's a lot of speculation in that game that one or both of those coaches could be candidates for another job. Let's start with Lane Kiffin in Florida Atlantic. It appears Lane Kiffin has potentially been offered the Arkansas job. That's one of the hot rumors out there, I guess, is the best way of putting it, I think.
I mean, I've heard Arkansas and Ole Miss.
I think Ole Miss wants him. Neither of those schools have hired a coach.
I mean, if you're Lane Kiffin, which one of those do you take? I mean, the deeper pockets is obviously in Fayetteville, but, you know, I don't even know if I want to say more opportunity to win, I guess, Ole Miss.
I don't know that you could say that.
You can't win a championship either one of those places. Can you?
I think I like.
I mean, Petrino was close. Yeah. Hugh Freeze was close. But realistically, with what you've got in the SEC West, it just seems too difficult to navigate right now.
I think I would take Arkansas. Here's why. Matt Luke had, what did Ole Miss finish? 5-7?
5-7. He was a 5-7, 6-6, 5-7, I think.
Yeah, he's got them a game away this year from being bowl eligible and got fired. If I get Arkansas bowl eligible in my first couple of years, I'm a hero.
Well, you say that. Brett Bielema had that.
I know, but Brett Bielema couldn't get over that hump. I just mean in the first couple of years, I'm a hero right away, right?
Yeah, but how long does it last?
Well, I don't know. That's the key. I mean, how long can you make it last at Ole Miss?
I just think you can sustain it a little bit longer at Ole Miss. I think it's easier to recruit to Ole Miss. And all you got to do is be Joe Moorhead right now.
If you become
the alpha of that state, look what Dan Mullen was able to do.
No, there's no doubt. He parlayed it into the Florida job. And I'm not certain that Mississippi State, I mean, I think Joe Moorhead is very much coaching for his job next year. Would you say that?
100%.
I mean, a lot of people think maybe he saved it in the Egg Bowl this year. So I think, you know, you could be the alpha at that program or in that state for a little bit going forward. If Mississippi State has to make a change, maybe you got a leg up there. I don't know. I don't know which one I'd take. I don't know that I'd take either one of them. I might stay in Boca. It's hard to say no to that money and an SEC coaching job. He probably never thought he'd be an SEC head coach again.
You know, Lane Kiffin obviously has a huge resume. I mean, he goes back to when he was 31. He was the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. And then obviously Tennessee, USC. He's got a name. But to me, Bill Clark's the better coach. Like, if I have to build one of these programs back up, I'm taking my shot with Bill Clark. I've seen Lane Kiffin at the big level before. And I think it's very average results. Thought he did a good job and, you know, an average to good job with Tennessee in his 1 year.
Yeah.
I thought it was good to average at USC. And those were really good jobs. I mean, when he took over Tennessee, it wasn't a bad job, right? USC was a good job. Now you're going to be taking over a bad job.
Are you surprised by this? And I can tell
you. And I know Bill Clark's been able to take over not a bad job, an awful job. Maybe the worst in the FBS.
Yeah.
And what he's been able to do with this UAB team.
Are you surprised, and really good sources on this, okay, have told me that as of yesterday, at least, I cannot speak of what might have happened in the last 24 hours, but as of yesterday, UAB Athletics Director Mark Ingram had not been contacted by any school seeking permission to speak with Bill Clark.
I'm blown away.
You're surprised at that, yeah.
You know, if they put you and I on a committee, and let's just remove us from being around this area, and we're based out of Boise. And we just know college football just from being consumers. I would be so interested to talk to the guy that built this thing up from the ashes.
Right.
And not only brought it back really from a death sentence, but brought it back to a relevant program that's on the cusp of winning double digits again. So I just want to see what the guy's all about, what his process is, how he did this, how he recruits, what kind of a guy he is behind the scenes, because nobody knows who Bill Clark is.
I was surprised by that when I found that out yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't want to have a conversation with him.
Yeah, and that's not to say, look, Lance, you and I might be naive on some subjects. We're not naive on this one. I know agents can talk to agents, so some stuff might have happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, but this is out there. I mean, Mike Leach has talked to Arkansas.
Right.
Lane Kiffin has talked to Arkansas. If you're Arkansas, why would you not talk to Bill Clark?
I don't know. I don't know what stands in the way. The only thing I could say about Bill Clark, I wonder if, from the outside looking in, if a lot of people say, all right, he was a high school coach in Alabama. He was a coordinator in Alabama, at South Alabama. He was a college head coach on the FCS level in Alabama, now the FBS level. The guy's never been out of Alabama. You know, he's got a great network. He knows I bet you Bill Clark probably knows every high school coach in Alabama. Every one of them.
Yeah, but wasn't that Gus Malzahn before?
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
I mean, a little younger, not as many stops.
Yeah, I mean, Malzahn had been a high school coach in Arkansas, a coordinator in Arkansas, but he did get the Tulsa job, right? He was the head coach at Tulsa.
Well, and maybe they look at it like this, because I was about to bring Chad Morris up, and obviously Chad Morris goes to Clemson, but Chad Morris is a Texas guy through and through.
Right.
And you give him an opportunity to come in and be your head coach, and that's been a disaster.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe that's what they look at. Let me correct myself. He was the offensive coordinator at Tulsa, the head coach at Arkansas State, is what I meant. Most of what he had done had been in Arkansas or Tulsa, which is just right across the border, really.
Does it also hurt that Bill Clark's a defensive guy? I mean, offense is the flavor. That's what people want right now. And even if you look at this UAB team, that's what's really amazing about it. Between Johnston and Hopkins, you haven't gotten really good quarterback play. It hasn't been this offense. Spencer Brown's been injured the majority of the season. Now he's turned back around and he's become a factor. But it's this defense, once again, that's getting it done. And if you're one of these elite programs and you're looking to bring back attendance, I mean, Arkansas, Missouri was, what, 33,000 people in Little Rock, you want to start selling tickets again. Yeah. And is Bill Clark going to sell you tickets? Lane Kiffin will sell you tickets.
He will. And I think Lane Kiffin, you know, a lot of what he does with the social media stuff at Florida Atlantic to bring attention to that program, I think he would do some of the same stuff, don't you, at an Arkansas or an Ole Miss, if that's what they wanted.
Now, he's going to make more at Arkansas, but his fines are going to be bigger from Greg Sankey and the SEC office, right?
You think Greg will have a special eye on Lane Kiffin?
Yeah. I think everyone will.
Do you think Lane Kiffin will be coaching Florida Atlantic next year?
I do not.
Where do you think he'll be?
It, one of those two stops.
You know, you mentioned one. You think it'll be Ole Miss or Arkansas. I think he'll be offered one of those jobs if he hasn't already been. Or he might have already been offered both of them.
I think I would be more comfortable in Oxford.
If you're Lane Kiffin?
Yeah.
I don't know. But both of them are small towns. Lane's never really, you know, you think about his stops.
I mean, Tuscaloosa's a small town.
Smallest one he's been in.
Yeah.
And he was there for a brief time, but, you know, he's been, as a head coach, Knoxville, Tennessee, not a metropolis, but a bigger town. Yeah. Oakland, Los Angeles, greater Miami area. I mean, those are his head coaching stops, and you're kind of going to that smaller college town. It's interesting. Lane's not a real small town guy to me. That's why I was surprised it lasted as long as it did in Tuscaloosa.
Is there any chance Lane Kiffin turns these jobs down?
Why would you if you're him? You just think I can – look, I've got a good team coming back next year at Florida Atlantic. If I've got these kind of offers, I think I could take them back to the championship game and get better offers.
I think Lane Kiffin's got a lot of money, so I don't think money's really going to be the biggest factor here. I think it's about getting back and getting that opportunity. You go back last year, Florida Atlantic, I mean, the wheels came off. And if it happens again next year, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. Nobody was talking about Lane Kiffin with any jobs last year. So, again, you've got a good product. You've won 9 games. You're back into a conference championship game. You got to take advantage.
Yeah. I was surprised to find that out yesterday, though, that in because the Arkansas jobs have been open quite a while. The Ole Miss job's now been open, what, about a week? When did that firing go down? I've lost track of time now.
Ole Miss.
It was right after the Bag Bowl.
The day after. Yeah. So
we're going up on a week. I was just surprised that Mark Ingram had not been contacted, at least according to my sources, for anything along those lines. By the way, Davey says, think about John Rhys Plumlee. It always looks like Rhys to me, but it's Rice. John Rhys Plumlee in Lane Kiffin's offense. Do you think that would work? I think Plumlee would work in a lot of offenses, right? The way he was playing at the end of the year. I think that guy's got a chance to be a difference maker for Ole Miss. But I assume Lane Kiffin can figure out a way to use him.
You wonder, though, how much of a factor Lane Kiffin and the flirtation and the behind-the-scenes talks is going to affect
the preparation for this game?
Yeah, what happens on the field against UAB.
Yeah. So 24/7 Sports says this would be your nightmare scenario for the College Football Playoff Committee. I think I know how we would rule on it. I think we've said how the committee would rule on it. But here's what 24/7 Sports. So here are the winners, Lance, in tomorrow's games, all right? Clemson wins theirs.
Okay.
Wisconsin upsets Ohio State.
Okay.
Georgia upsets LSU.
Okay.
Oklahoma wins and Utah wins.
Now, okay, what you've got now is you've got Clemson as the one seed.
Correct. I think you're right on that.
I think you would have...
Georgia as the two?
No.
You'd still have LSU as the two in front of Georgia after they beat them?
I think you would have Ohio State the two.
Oh, okay.
Georgia the three and LSU the
four. So you're just going to keep all those same teams in then? You'd keep the same four in. You would just rearrange the chairs on the deck.
Again, if Georgia wins this game, it's
set. They're in. There's no doubt they're in.
I don't think there's another way.
Yeah. I didn't know if throwing, you know, I think Ohio State can afford a loss. That's what 24/7 says is their nightmare scenario. It's the only way you can really create a legitimate nightmare scenario.
I love the fact that it is so unlikely, almost impossible for Virginia to win this game. They went on and went with Clemson.
I mean, you can't even really discuss it with a straight face.
I mean, the interesting thing is if Clemson does lose.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of people out there that would love to see Clemson lose and be left out. There's no way Clemson is left out.
No, I would agree 100% with you.
Interact with us on Twitter @JocksRoundtable.